Bibles and open to Luke chapter 1 this morning. And you may want to grab a Bible because we're going to look at some lengthy passages this morning in Luke chapter 1. It's important for us as we think of Christmas, where does the Holy Spirit fit in Christmas? And we're going to see from chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit was all over the first chapter here as God the Father is setting up the scene for his Son. We see the Holy Spirit announcing and filling. So I'd like to begin reading, if you want to follow along, please, in your Bible. I don't think all of these passages are on the video screen for you this morning, so you may want to grab a Bible. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of Luke chapter 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me, also having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. And Theophilus means friend of God, lover of God. It's a Greek name. That you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Now, this is Dr. Luke. And Dr. Luke wrote, obviously, the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. And so he has investigated. He has done his homework. He's talked. And the Holy Spirit has been revealing to him. And he's putting into an orderly fashion the things that have transpired, especially when we look into the incarnation of our Savior Jesus Christ. Dr. Luke, and he's the only one that really gives us insight into this material, this narrative concerning John the Baptist, the forerunner, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I have found it interesting this last week as I've been reading the book and studying it, that there are some significant responses that we all want towards Christmas. And we're going to find some of those in this context. So, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. And by the way, usually we read Luke 2, don't we, at Christmas? Have you ever read Luke 1? It's a long chapter, but typically we don't. So this is why I'm doing it for you. I'm setting up chapter 2 for you when you read that at your Christmas gathering. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. And so it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And the altar of incense was in the holies, part of the temple, and it was to burn continuously while the sacrifice was being made. And his job was to make sure that the fire did not go out on that altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them. And a better translation here is he was signing. He was signing. This is the first example that we have in the scriptures of sign language. Zacchaeus was actually signing, trying to explain to them what he had seen. He was unable to speak. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for how you set up our Savior coming to earth and how you prepared it. And Father, we realize that this had been planned from the very beginning when mankind fell into sin. And we thank you now that we can enter into this context and into this story of Elizabeth and Zacharias and John and Mary, especially as the Holy Spirit was working in their lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the phrases that we hear a lot about this Christmas time is, we need to have the Christmas spirit. Now, being somewhat analytical, I began to think about that. Just what is the Christmas spirit? I suppose there are a lot of potential answers to that question. To Scrooge, the Christmas spirit was a ghost. The ghost of the past, the ghost of the present, and the ghost of the future, if you've ever seen that particular play. To the liquor industry, the Christmas spirit comes in a bottle. It's not spirit, it's spirits. And people spend somewhere around $12.5 billion. Now, you might think that is excessive. Well, I've researched this, so I'm not being too crazy here. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's in America. And then some people feel that the Christmas spirit is somewhat the truce that takes place in the family when nobody brings up the issues and the quarrels. Now, we obviously want peace during Christmas, but we understand that's not always a reality, even in our country or in our families. So my question to you is, what is the biblical definition of the Christmas spirit? I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but I've been thinking about that. Well, the best answer to that question is always to go to the Bible, and I've just taken you to Luke chapter 1. And we want to focus on these individuals. We want to look at these lives. And an interesting thing as you get into these individuals that God is using to carry out his plan is that they have names. And in the Hebrew language, names meant something more than they do today. Let me give you an example of that. My name, my full name is Stanton. It's an English name. And it means stone dweller. Stan means stone over there in England. And it's usually around a quarry, or it's in the area where there are stones. So, you probably didn't know that. Did you know my full name was Stanton? You did? How did you know that? I've always been known as Stan. And some people call me Stan the Man. That's after the baseball player Stan Musial. Anyway, that's names. And when you start looking at these names as we go through this context and look at how these individuals are going to be used of God, their names really fit what they're going to experience as Jesus is going to be conceived and brought forth to us. So let's look first of all at a response here from Zechariah's first response in verses 18 through 23. Now understand that he was old. And the best information I can gather from the commentaries that I have searched is that they were somewhere, Zacharias was somewhere between, they figure 90 to maybe 95, somewhere in there. And they feel Elizabeth was probably in her high 80s. Now, we don't know for sure, but they were very old. It would kind of be like a couple of people in our church who would come to see you this morning and to worship with you saying, "Oh, did you know we're expecting?" Wouldn't that be a shocker? Gene And Ted? I think all of us would giggle and laugh and say, oh, really? That's an interesting story. Never heard of that before. Well, you know that in the Bible, God works miracles, and we saw that with Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament. So I understand Zechariah, because he's human. And do you know what his name means? Zechariah? It means Jehovah has remembered. Now, how fitting. Because their prayer consistently was, would you bless us with a child? But God hadn't. And so now, they're being blessed at this old age. I know many of us would giggle. We'd have a hard time believing it too. So I understand. So his first response was disbelief. Okay? And now we're going to see another response. The second response was belief. Look at verses 57 through 66. But we're just going to read Luke 1, 57 through 66. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. And so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, that they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias, which would have been a normal thing to do. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. You know what the name John means? Jehovah has been gracious. Now let's just think of those names and see how the story continues. So Zechariah's name means the Lord has remembered. John's name means the Jehovah has been gracious. So let's see what Elizabeth's name is going to mean later on. But let's get back to our context here. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have called him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with them. So Zacharias had a problem with disbelief, and I understand where he was coming from. But now he believes. He's a believer. Well, obviously you'd believe if you saw the child being born and say, okay, yeah, saw the pregnancy. But he was quiet. He couldn't speak for about 9 months. Now, wouldn't that be difficult? But he saw what was unfolding, and I think in his heart he marveled, but once he saw what was happening with his wife, he really couldn't say anything but sign language, or maybe write something on a tablet. So his first response was disbelief. His second response was belief. And then we look at verses 67 through 79, and his third response is going to be to prophesy. He's going to speak the word of the Lord. He's going to rejoice and be so excited. So let's look at his prophecy here in chapter 1. In verses 67 through 79. Now, I know I'm reading lots of verses, but you have to enter into this from his perspective. Now, his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when someone would prophesy in the Old Testament, he would speak the word of the Lord. So, Zacharias is going to speak the word of the Lord. And we're going to see the fulfillment of this word, because a true prophet of God, when he speaks the word of the Lord, it is always fulfilled. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we shall be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to give our feet into the way of peace. He was prophesying, telling us that the word of the Lord has been fulfilled, that John the Baptist is going to come on the scene. He's going to be the forerunner of Christ, and he is going to prepare the way for our Savior as he is brought forth from Mary. So his third response was to speak the word of the Lord. Now let me encourage you this Christmas season, if you're in the Christmas spirit. I hope and pray that you're not in disbelief here this morning. I hope all of you are believers. Because if you're not, then I want you to find out how you can become a believer. The way to become a believer is very simple according to God's word. You hear the word, you believe the word, and you trust in the word. And the word has been revealed to us, who is, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? The only begotten. He came forth from the Father and is full of grace and truth. And I hope you notice in his prophecy how many times we read words like mercy, salvation, grace. It truly is a marvelous story as is being uttered through Zechariah's mouth. Now, the second response we get from Elizabeth, and her name means satisfaction. And so let's look again at verses 24 and 25. You're doing some Bible gymnastics this morning, but it's good preparation for you. Besides, you haven't had your spiritual exercise this morning yet anyway, have you? Now, in verse 24, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months. She hid herself 5 months. Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. When you study the importance of a woman in the Jewish culture having children, you will realize that she was shamed because she could not have children. And it must have destroyed her, because every Jewish wife wanted children. And when they were barren, they would cry out to the Lord to grant them a child. Now you might ask, why did she hide herself? Well, she's probably struggling with this thing too, being, you know, in her late 80s. You know, what's going on here? Am I gaining weight or what? Maybe I've been eating too many chips, potato chips. Well, I don't think they had them back then, but you can imagine what was going on in her heart. But she realized the Lord had delivered the promise, and the Lord was being gracious to her. And she must have been rejoicing over this reality and thanking the Lord for what he had done for her. So her first response, I believe, was gratitude, that she was so thankful that the Lord had finally answered her prayer, because she had prayed so many times and maybe even had given up praying. Who knows? And then her second response was to bless her cousin Mary. So let's go to verses 39 through 45. Verses 39 through 45. And we're going to see now Elizabeth blessing Mary. Now Mary arose those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. They are related. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which the Lord told her from the Lord." Her second response was to bless Mary. And this is something that I think all of us need to understand when we think of Christmas. The Christmas spirit, first of all, is gratitude because God fulfilled his promise. God had planned it from the very beginning to send his son to us. And now we see this coming to fruition. We see it being carried out. And it should spring up in our hearts gratitude to the Lord. Thankfulness to the Lord. And then finally, we should want to bless others as we have been blessed. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you have been blessed beyond measure with everything. Everything is in Christ. Not only do we have the forgiveness of sins, but he's given to us the abundant life, the good life for those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the responses that we want in our heart as we contemplate the Christmas spirit. We want a belief, we want gratitude, and we want to bless others as Elizabeth blessed Mary. Now we'll look at John the Baptist. Now believe it or not, he has a response when he's in his mother's womb. And when you look at the language here, the Jewish people who recorded the scriptures for us, and we're not sure if Luke was as a Jew or not, but he understood the culture. And when he's writing this, he understood what was going on through the power of the Holy Spirit. But especially the Jewish culture always looked at what was in a woman's womb, even before birth, as a child. You were either in the womb or outside the womb, but you were never considered a blob of tissue. You were never considered anything but a child. And that grants to us an understanding here about the sanctity of life and how important life is. I'll never forget when I went over to Jerusalem and talked among the Jewish people, and they were surrounded by all of these neighbors who want to destroy them, annihilate them, how the Jewish people believe in the sanctity of life. Now, not all of the liberal ones, but most of them that I talked to believed in the sanctity of life, that life is a gift, life is precious. And we see in this context, here's John the Baptist in his mother's womb, and he's going to leap for joy. He's going to leap for joy. Leap for joy. So his response was joy in his mother's womb. Did you know that children can hear? Did you know that mothers? They can hear. You wonder sometimes what they hear, and you have to be careful what you say because you don't want to upset what's inside of your womb. What a fantastic picture we get here of John the Baptist's response, even before he was born, was joy. And it was prophesied that he would bring joy and a blessing to his people. Do you have any joy this morning? Did you get up with any joy? Are you full of joy now? We should be. It's the joy of the Lord. That's what the Christmas spirit is. It's joy. Joy that God has brought to us a Savior. Joy that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save us. It is centered in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist's response was joy. Now, let's look at Mary's first response. And the word Mary is an Egyptian name because when you look at the Hebrew word Mara, it means to be bitter. And so we understand that Miriam was Moses' sister, and obviously they had some Egyptian influence on them. Moses spoke Egyptian. And so this name Mary, that's the background to it. It comes out of the Egyptian culture. And it means beloved. She is the beloved. And truly, she's going to live that out. Well, let's look at her first response in verses 26 through 34. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, and the you know what Gabriel means? Gabriel means, Jehovah is my strength. God is my strength. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, and that means engaged. There were two acts to a Jewish wedding. The first one was an engagement, and that would last for a while, and then they would consummate the marriage. when they exchanged their vows to one another. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled. She was bewildered at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and you will be called the Son, and he will be called the Son of the Most Highest, or the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I do not know a man." She was saying, "I haven't had relationships with a man, sexual relationship with a man." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now this word overshadow, Luke uses it also in Luke chapter 9, in verse 34. And it has this connotation when Jesus took some of his disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration, if you remember the story. And it says that a cloud came over them, overshadowed them. And it really is the presence of the Most High there. Because you see the disciples reacting to the cloud in fear. And then a voice comes out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And that was the Father putting his stamp of approval on his Son. So this concept of overshadow means that the Holy Spirit came upon her, and what took place in her womb, the conception, was of God. You might ask, why is the virgin birth so important to us as followers of Christ? And that is because sin comes through a father. We inherit our sin nature from our father and mother. And so if you've ever wanted to thank your parents for anything, you can thank them for what they gave you, your sin nature. Jesus did not have a sin nature. The Holy Spirit, God the Most High, overshadowed Mary. And the conception that took place was of the Heavenly Father. And what a blessed thing we have. Because Jesus is not only human, he got his humanness from Mary, he got his divinity from his Father. He is God in the flesh. Therefore, when they tried to figure out who this Christ child was, do you know what they've come up with? He is God, fully God and fully man simultaneously. He is the God-man. And for some, it's hard to understand, but I see the importance, especially of the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary and preserving our Savior without a sin nature. Her response was first trouble, bewilderment. And then look at her second response in verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She too struggled when she first got the news, but then she responded with obedience. And then finally, she's going to have a song of praise. So look at verses 46 through 45. Now we're going to get some theology here that's really important for us as we understand who Mary is, because some have exalted Mary to a position that she should not be in. And Mary said, this is the song of praise, "My soul magnifies, enlarges the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Do you hear those words? Did Mary need a Savior? Mary needed a Savior because she too had a sin nature. And there are those who have exalted Mary into a position that is not rightfully hers. She is not God. She is not deified. "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Now you're going to see here a pattern of the humble servant, being exalted, and the poor being remembered and exalted as well. And we see the Lord's heart, especially as he has selected Mary to carry the Son of God. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary's last response was to praise the Lord. Should that be our response today? Did you come with lots of praise? Well, I know some of you have a difficult time in the morning even smiling, much less engaging in praise. But it's true. And I know that some of you can't sing. You can't carry a tune. I had a confession from one of our ushers when I asked him if he could sing, and he says, no, I can't carry a tune. Well, who cares if you can carry a tune or not? Do you think God cares if you sing according to a certain key or not? I think he cares more about our heart and our praise coming from our heart and as it flows through our mouth. And I trust you've come with praise. The Christmas story can be condensed to a couple of things that I want to leave you with right now, and that is, let's worship our Savior and let's give him praise for great things he has done among us, and we are so thankful for that. There are many people today, when they think of the Christmas season, their responses are not that. So if you struggle with Christmas, I am going to give you some Christmas cheer right now. Are you ready for some Christmas cheer? All right. Because there are those this time of the year who are filled with sadness, self-reflection, loneliness, and anxiety. And if you're one of them, we need Christmas cheer. So where do we get the Christmas cheer? It's from the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What's the first thing that he produces in our lives? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Have you ever eaten that Christmas fruitcake? Do you guys like that Christmas fruitcake? He does? I can remember as a young boy, we had a foster grandmother, and she really never gave us gifts that we appreciated as children. But one of the gifts she always gave us was this Christmas fruit nut cake. And I can remember hating it. Ooh, never liked it as a kid. But now I like it. And I realize it's healthy. It's probably one of the healthiest cakes you can eat because it's full of fruit and nuts. And that's what we should eat. But we need the Holy Spirit to fill us, just like he filled Zacharias, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, and Mary. Don't we need that filling? Especially this time of the year. You know, one of the jobs I've had lately is ringing the bell for the Salvation Army. And as I stand here, I know there are others that do that. And I've been struggling with this because, you know, when you're out there for 2 hours ringing a bell, it's not the easiest job. And it seems like the time goes by so slowly sometimes. So I'm ringing the bell, and I'm struggling with it. Fortunately, they put me into a nice little heating place. You could call it, I like it, this is my fish house. And they have a heater in there. So I'm warm, thankfully. But one of the things that encourages my heart is to see, when you smile at people, to smile back. And when you say, Merry Christmas, they say, well, Merry Christmas to you too. It's becoming more politically correct to say that. Did you know that today? Did you know we can say that without being condemned today? I know there are those who still would condemn us for saying it. But as I ring the bell, and as others ring the bell, and all the bell ringers, typically it's so fun to say, well, Merry Christmas, and God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You see, even unbelievers, when they put some money in that kettle, they get a little joy out of that. They get a little joy out of that because they think they're doing something that's right. Is it right to help the poor? Yeah, it is. Even if you're unsaved, they buy into that. But for us who are saved, we should really buy into that. So we shouldn't just drop a few nickels in there. We should drop some dollar bills in there because God has told us to take care of the poor and to remember them. And when you think of where our Savior came from, oh my, Joseph and Mary, they were not rich. They were blue-collar people and probably on the low economy level of that. They didn't have much, but they had the Lord, who is everything. I am so thankful that Christ is the indescribable gift. He is the joy of the season, and He is the reason for the season. So let's celebrate our Savior. And I know we're subdued. That's okay. But we can rejoice in our hearts, can't we? We can rejoice in our hearts, and maybe our face will catch up. Maybe our arms will catch up. We can celebrate because God has done a wonderful thing among us. Let's pray. Father, it is my prayer that all of us here understand what the true Christmas spirit is. And Father, we know it centers in your Son, in our Savior. Father, we know that because He came to us, that we have the forgiveness of sins and we have life everlasting. So may we celebrate this season and may we respond in belief. May we respond with gratitude and joy, and may we respond with praise for all that you have done for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and close with hymn 192, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. We hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord.